a brand new episode of the Happy Productive Podcast is about to begin. It's time to be inspired by simple and actionable solutions for you and your business. If you're an established entrepreneur or just laying down the first brick of your future empire, the mantra is the same. We will flip any failure into a positive and use it to our advantage. This show is all about turning coal into diamonds. With the right plan and mindset, anything is possible. I'm Jennifer Dawn, your host, business coach, and founder of Best Planner Ever, and I'm here to help you achieve all your ambitious goals. Success is closer than you think. Let's do this. Hey, hey, everybody. Welcome to a new episode of the Happy Productive Podcast. This might be our longest podcast ever because I don't know if I'm going to let this woman off the show without completely picking her brain about everything to do with authentic sales. So, Miss Michelle Rockwood, welcome, welcome to the show today.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm beyond excited. I've been waiting all week for this.
Well, I am super excited. You guys, I have to tell you, so the way that I found out about Michelle is actually a coach on my team shared a podcast, and I can't remember which one it was, but you were on a podcast and you were talking about authentic sales specifically for coaches. And so my coach shared the podcast with me. And of course, it took me a week or two before I was like, I had time to listen. And then I listened and I was just like, oh my gosh, like this is so relevant to what we have been going through as a sales team. And so, of course, I immediately went out and I got your book. And you guys, if you're not on video, you can't see, I'm holding up Joyful Selling, which is Michelle's book. Yay. Read the whole thing. And then I reached out to Michelle and said, hey, can you please, please come on the show? Because I really want to have a conversation about this. And so thank you, Michelle, for being here with me today. Would you mind just giving everybody a little bit of background and how you came to be doing this work around, I'm just going to call it like having authentic sales conversations?
Sure, absolutely. And like all good things in life, it was a complete accident and I did not mean to get into this line of work at all. I was working as a high ticket closer, we need a better name for that, for a coach training company when the owner asked me to stand up for 10 minutes in front of the cohort that had come to a live event. And if you know me, you know I have stage fright and public speaking is very hard for me. This is easy, but in a group of people, I just was up for 3 nights straight. Don't tell anybody, between you and me and the ball. I took some NyQuil and I slept that night. I woke up that morning and that 10 minutes was glorious. It turned into 45 minutes, people raising their hand, wanting to stay after lunch. And the owner of the company yelled across the room and she said, Michelle Rockwood, you're coming back every year. And so, yes, right then and there, I knew that I had something that I didn't know other people had, a skill, a love, a joy, a reframe, a way of describing things, I don't know, that others didn't. And that started my journey into sales coaching and coaching as it is today.
Oh, well, you know, it's so relevant, at least for me and my company right now, because I would say for the last year, I have been just miserable. Miserable in our sales efforts. And it's, and really a big part of the reason is we have kind of ping-ponged from one, you know, high ticket coaching program. And I'm actually, my next podcast, I think, is going to be a rant on high ticket coaching programs and why they suck and what you need to know before you get sucked into one, right?
Yes. I would love to join in that conversation. Absolutely.
Yeah. Exactly. And I'm speaking from personal experience, you guys who are listening, because I think in the last year, I went through 3 different high ticket coaching programs around sales and building our sales. And we've always just done very authentic sales, like, you know, show up, have a conversation. Our coaching team has expanded. And so through that expansion, I'm like, well, we got to blow up sales too. You know, we need setters, we need closers, we need all these funnels and processes and all these different things, right? So we've gone through these different programs and they're often very short term. You know, if they even have a guarantee, it's so heavily weighted and like, no matter what you do, it's your fault if you don't get like, you know, benefit from their brilliant program.
Yes,
and then
yes.
they kick you out if you don't want to spend a whole bunch more money. And, you know, it's just so frustrating. Not that there isn't some value and I didn't learn. I absolutely did. But have spent a lot of money on just trying to do this whole sales process. And so when I started like hearing your podcast and reading your book, and you were talking about the difference between masculine sales energy and feminine, and I was like, oh my gosh, like all these things I've been learning have all been from these programs that men are doing. I love men. I'm not bashing men. I'm not. And all very good stuff, but it's like, it's this aggressive approach and it isn't working for us at all. And just like when I started listening to your stuff, I was like, oh my gosh, well, no wonder it's not working, because we're a team of women all coaching. Absolutely. And yeah. we're a team of really good women all coaching. And so talk to me a little bit about like, what really is the difference between a masculine sales approach and a feminine sales approach?
Jennifer, first off, I'm so sorry that you're having that experience, I have to say. And it's really, really common. And most people run for the hills screaming and they never look back. So congratulations on going, okay, there's a different way for us and we're going to figure out what that is. And I think this is one of the problems, is that this way of selling isn't right or wrong and it works.
Yeah.
But often for women, it doesn't feel right. It's not quite in alignment and there isn't the flow that we love in our businesses, in our lives. And so when you're doing and implementing a system that makes your stomach churn a little bit, it's harder to put it into place and to execute it. And making sure that we feel good is really, really important when it comes to sales. It's actually the number one. So right off, we're starting, you know, with a disadvantage. Jennifer, I had a coach once and she looked me in the eyes and she said, Michelle, you have a really masculine sales energy. And I got hot all over from head to toe. And I said, just what you're saying now, what is that? What does that even mean? Is this an insult? Is it a compliment? And she started to explain, just, you know, as we're talking here about you're chasing clients. You're doing anything to make the sale. You're taking calls all day at times that don't necessarily work for you or feel good. And so when I sat back and I started to think, and it sounds like this is what you're doing with our team, is what feels good to us? Mm-hmm. How do we want the client to feel when they get on that call with us? What needs to take place before that? What do we need to do to feel amazing when we say hello on that sales call? And then what does success look like, right? Is success a yes at all costs, getting the deal, making the sale? Even if the person is living on the street and can't afford the program and shouldn't be there, you know, no. For you, right, for your team, it's going to be helping the client come to a choice, a decision as to their next best steps. So really, feminine sales is thinking about all the ways and leaning into our feminine most energy of feelings and connection and support and service. And that doesn't mean just getting on the call and being nice. That's not what we're all about, is just being nice. That doesn't serve anyone, but it's being thoughtful and strategic and connected to the client and to yourself.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. And guys who are listening, do not click off like, oh, this only applies to women. I'm going to tell you it doesn't right now. Just before this podcast, I had my mastermind group with three men in it. And yeah. One is a financial advisor selling financial services to women. And the other two are coaches who coach men. And we were having a conversation around this. And so guys, it's not just a female thing. It really and truly is about having this authentic sales conversation that feels so super good. In some of these other trainings that we were doing, and these trainings, I mean, very high end, you know, names of companies that you would recommend, that they're teaching them, like, this is how you do your sales programs. And I found myself getting so frustrated because I would get on a sales call and literally the whole time I'm trying to like, what's the next question to stay ahead of this person, to twist the knife on their pain, to create the sense of urgency so that I get them to like, buy right now. And like, I couldn't be present. And that's not how I coach, but it's like you go through these training techniques and they're teaching you to do things so you can be better at sales, but it's literally so disconnecting you from the present moment, the conversation you're having. And I gotta believe that there's a reason why, you know, an average close rate, the industry average is 20%. You got to have 10 calls to close two, because so many of those calls, you're just so disconnected and it just isn't a very good feeling experience.
Yeah, absolutely. And what's so sad about that is, especially as a coach and with any kind of coach training at all, that's your superpower on the sales call. And when you start to get out of your head and think about how can I work this in the direction that I desire, we know as coaches, that's just, you know, a recipe for disaster on a coaching call. But when instead you lean into the client and you use those active listening skills, which is your superpower, then you hear something that you would have missed. That they've actually come to the call because they want to connect to their grandkids, or they've come to the call because their spouse made them. You know, you catch something that you wouldn't other if you're following a script or a really, really tight framework. You don't have the core skills to really listen and support the client 100%.
Yeah, it makes so much sense. And so can you give everybody who's listening, especially if you're intrigued and you're like, wait a second, I could have a sales conversation I actually enjoy. Yes, you can. And so talk to me about, like, just high level, what does a conversation look like using like your more authentic, open approach versus maybe a typical sales conversation that you may have been trained in a different method?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first off, we're going to make sure that the people getting on the call aren't being tricked, right? They know exactly why they're there. They know exactly what to expect, and we've set them up for success. So this beginning part of the sales cycle is actually overmissed by companies that are doing millions and millions of dollars in sales. They book a sales call and there's nothing leading up. So we want to make sure that the client feels settled, ready, and excited. You haven't booked the call 2 weeks out, right? There's all these little nuances because our minds are silly and we get distracted. We want to make sure they feel really settled and ready for the call. And then we want to host a proper and aligned sales call. And that's making sure we're checking in with the client at the beginning of the call. We're setting an intention to make sure we're both in the same place and we have the same goal. And one thing I think, Jennifer, a lot of times people miss is getting into rapport with a client is so important. And that's not just connection. Hey, you're a coach. I'm a coach. Hey, you're in sales. I'm in sales. But, you know, Jennifer, I know and I learned before this call that you're into horses.
Oh, yes. Right? Yeah. Yes.
Uh-huh. And so I'm also into horses. I'm going to accidentally inherit a horse here coming up in a month.
Oh, right. Yeah. So
that would be how I'd open a call with you, is I'd take that extra minute to listen to your podcast, to read some of your blogs, to look over, you know, I don't need to be stalker weird and know the name of your children or anything like that. But hey, Jennifer, I heard that you're into horses. Are you going to the barn today? You know? And so yeah. We connect. And what's so important about this though, too, is that I actually care about you. And I wonder, I'm truly curious what kind of horse you have, how long you know, I have all these things. If you don't truly care and you're not truly interested in the other person and you're just looking to get the sale and move on to the next thing, they'll feel that.
Yeah.
And so that's when you're going to need to do the higher volume. But if you truly care and you're truly interested, you can slow down, work smarter, not harder, and have that connection with the client and move forward.
Yeah, I love that so much. And it's interesting when you're like, hey, so you're into horses. Like literally you can feel a physical shift and it's like sold, check. Just because that little thing of like rapport. Now we have to be careful, Michelle, or we could talk about horses the whole rest of the time.
I know we both want to go. Sales.
But you know, it's so true that it's like, wow, this person took the time to learn a little bit of something about me. And it really does just connect you as human beings, I think, at a core basic level. And now it kind of sets you up to have a real conversation.
And if you skip that, you'll get to the end and they'll say, let me think about this. This sounds wonderful. I have no, this is just fantastic. You know, and then you wonder what went wrong? What did I miss? Yeah. Right. But there wasn't that trust and that human next to them that got them. So each of these steps, I always, whenever I'm teaching, I'm like, this is the most important step. I'm so excited. You've got to get this one, because they're all really vital. You know, if you move on and you share what it is you're offering without truly understanding the client's challenges and their needs, really understanding to where you get it and you feel it in your gut and you confirm it with them. Now it's time to ask, would you like to learn how I help clients with this? Because if you can't help them and it's not a right fit and you make the offer, your heart's going to be wounded a little bit. Yeah, yeah. It sounds silly, but we're going to get this little nick. Yeah. And we don't want to make offers to people who we don't know 100% in our guts that we can help them. We're not just here to make offers for fun. We're here to make offers to people who want to buy what we have. Yeah. And so we're showing off in this conversation how we're going to work together. I'm not just going to show you the shiny object, tell you what's worked for other people. We're going to take time when we work together to figure out what's right for you. And so you're demonstrating that in the sales conversation.
Oh, so powerful. And I'm curious. So we had a salesperson on our team who's not with us anymore. And when I would go back and I would do her call reviews and I would look at the calls that she was having these like beautiful conversations with everybody, but then completely letting them off the hook at the end. And of course, her close rate was pretty much a big goose egg. And so I'm curious, because you said something really important at the beginning of that's not about just being nice. So can you speak a little bit to like, okay, a beautiful conversation, but we are also there to sell. And so how do you help somebody kind of transition from like that conversation piece to where now I actually do need to tell you about our products or services? And then if it's a good fit, like move to that next step.
Jennifer, spot on, and you nailed it with this question. And this is where women can need to lean in more to the masculine a little bit. Mm-hmm. We want to care for somebody in a sales conversation. We want to be in command of the call, not in control. And they need to feel safe and held. We're not their pal. So, and you said in the beginning, and I'm so sorry, but you said, we want to just show up and have a conversation. That's what we do. And that's not what we do. This is not just a conversation where we're going to shoot the shit. I don't know if we're allowed to swear on this call.
Yeah.
and see what happens. That's not it at all. It's really having boundaries, a fierce, your 45-minute sales call. You're bringing them through a process like a dance, though, you know, and you're taking their lead and you're going back and forth. I have this, can I tell this yeah. little story? Because I think it brings this point home. One of my first sales jobs was at Nordstrom's, selling shoes on Michigan Avenue in Chicago at the big fancy Nordstrom's down there. And I was horrible at it. And it was a commission job. And I was just stinking so badly. One of the salespeople pulled me aside and he said, Michelle, watch me. And he helped person after person, got exactly what they wanted, plus maybe one shoe or one size bigger, set them down, and he walked away. And person after person would grab the shoe and go purchase. Now here, there's little old me who wants to be so nice and so good at my job. I would bring them four pairs of shoes and talk to them about their mother and their dog and their sister and all the things. And they'd go, oh, this was such a lovely conversation. See you later. Right? And it was so bizarre. But when I started to tap into giving them exactly what they came for, a little bit more, making sure that I was available, but my time, this gentleman, he'd set it down and leave. He made it known to them that it was a bit of a pain to go grab another pair of shoes, right? So he helped them make that decision. I became like salesperson of the year. I made so much money. I took the summer off and went to Europe. Like, I couldn't believe how much money I was making in college. And so that just goes to show you, if we just shift slightly and we want to tap into that feminine energy and be lovely, but that does not mean that we're taking calls whenever we want. We're getting all the shoes somebody needs. We're helping them out and serving and supporting them. And sometimes that also means kicking them in the butt and telling mm-hmm. them, it's, you know, here's the time to take the next step. I'm going to go ahead and cut you off. I want to make sure we get to the meat of this conversation. You know, thank you so much for sharing, that sort of a thing. So absolutely not. We are not showing up and just having a conversation. You want to have a framework, but also the skills to really lean into those, the listening skills and your energy that you bring to the call.
Yeah, I think that there's an element of being willing. I actually took a sales call on Monday and it was a lovely woman. And I'm happy to say we had a beautiful conversation, but she was quite the talker. And I struggled with like how to, because as a coach, you know, I want to give people that space. I want them to, you know, I know sometimes even for myself, I'm like, can you just, I just need to get this out of my head, you know, and we want to talk and we want to get it out of our head because we're business owners. We don't always have people to talk to. And it's just like, okay, I need to think this out loud. But like trying to find that balance between being a coach and giving them a space and letting them get it all out versus a sales conversation where you do kind of need to rein it in a little bit. And I'm sure there's somebody else out there who struggles with this of just like an authentic way to kind of like cut them off and redirect that conversation back to the sales conversation. I don't know. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Absolutely. So what you want to do here, and it's really simple, Jennifer.
I'm going to get coached now, you guys.
say their name.
Yes.
Just like I did for you. You're breaking rapport.
Okay.
And when you say their name, that's going to get them to pause. So I'm rambling off and off. And I say, Jennifer, if you keep rambling, I'm going to say your name again, Jennifer. And right there, they will pause. And then you've taken back command of the call. Mm. So it's this really simple thing. Just try it and pause, say their name and go, I'm going to go ahead and pause you there. And what I want you to do is to redirect them back to, we're not coaching the client around the problem that they have. We're coaching them on a sales call around the decision to get support around that problem. Mm-hmm. So that's where it's different. If you start talking about the problem itself and different solutions and what's really going on, we don't want to go there. We want to back it out big picture to that 30,000 foot and really coach them on the around the decision to get support.
Nice. Oh, that's such a great little tactic to just be like, say their name and to kind of break a gentle way to kind of break it up and then redirect them.
They will really appreciate that actually, mm-hmm. because somebody wants to be reined in. They want to know that you are strong enough, especially as women, right? Don't you love, it's actually, I think why I fell in love with my husband is nobody would shut me up and they kind of do whatever I wanted. And he was like, yeah, we're going to do this. Go ahead here. You know, he was right. He had his own boundaries, which was attractive. And that's attractive to somebody when they have the confidence to ask you to, I'm going to go ahead and let's put a pin in this because I really want to make sure I honor your time and mine. And I want to understand what brought you to this call and really where, you know, you can redirect the conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, sometimes when I'm working with people, like I just want to help. At the end of the day, I want to help. Even if you're not a fit for us, that's okay. And so you do, though, sometimes talk with people that are just, you want to help them, but they just truly don't have the financial resources. You know, the person homeless living on the street just does not have the financial resources. And in a situation like that, like how do you handle that? Do you go ahead and direct them somewhere else? Do you, I mean, obviously in some of these other masculine approaches, they would just try to sell. They're like, you know, go max out your 401k. Like they'll tell them all kinds of things. Do you have 14 credit cards we can spread this out on? I personally am not doing that to somebody. If I wouldn't business coach them on making a decision like that, I'm not going to tell them to do that on a sales call. But what's a great way for people to actually still help, even if they're not a good fit or they truly just don't have the financial resources for your program?
Okay. So a couple things there. Is that what somebody can and can't afford is none of your business. And I say that with love. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times, especially these dudes, and I love you men, I love you. They're all about profiling the prospect for what they can and can't afford. Mm-hmm. And it's ridiculous. You would be amazed at how many Midwesterners have money under their mattresses, how many people can afford things that you have no idea based on looking at them. And I really invite you not to lean into their money story because that's what they've been telling themselves so throughout their lives. That said, if it is just absolutely clearly that this is not a good fit and you just feel it in your gut, really you want to have a little free resource that you can send to them. And I'm sure you have something like that. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times if they say, no, no, I can, this is fine. I can put it across 4 credit cards, but I just don't feel right about that. I'll ask them to go complete something before they join. Mm-hmm. Right. So I'm wanting to see that they can follow through and do the thing. And so that's why maybe access to a little mini course or video recording or something like that is nice, because then you're starting to test out, especially if you're bringing them into a group coaching program, mm-hmm. if that they will follow through and do the thing. So yeah, that's one way. And what we call it, a gentle release, which is a lovely way to say, don't hang up on the person. But how do we lovingly and thoughtfully end the call, honor our time and theirs, and let them know that this doesn't feel like a good fit?
Okay. Boy, I love this. You know, it's interesting to me, after I read your book and had a very different sales call on Monday. I don't know what today is, Wednesday, Monday. Like, I felt myself starting to love sales again. I've noticed over the last year, I've been so frustrated with it by all these things we've tried that just haven't really worked very good. And it's interesting because it's kind of like just going right back to how we've always done things of just like get on the phone and have a great conversation, but also a directed conversation. But it's just started to help me like feel like, wow, you know what? I actually really do love the sales process, because I was feeling like I didn't. And so I know there's people out there who are listening right now who are just like, I hate taking a sales call. And so what do you have to share with them of like, you know, can this be a process that somebody who hates sales actually enjoys doing?
Yeah, 100%. Yes, it can. And when you start to think about why you, I want to ask you why and what about the sales call are you not liking? Because oftentimes when we don't like something, we feel ill-prepared and unsure of what the next step is. And so often people will take a marketing class. They will figure out how to get leads galore. They will go to conferences and all these different things. And they're really doing all these things to avoid the sales call itself, the very thing that will bring them business, because they're unsure of what to say on that call. So I really recommend, before you do anything in your business, that you learn the sales conversation, because the energy you will put out will be completely different in your Facebook posts, in your LinkedIn. When you go to those networking events, you'll be like, oh, let's jump on a call. I'd love to talk. Tell me, you know, that's something you're interested in. Let's do it. Because it's such a joy-filled process and you do need to work at it. But Jennifer, it's so close to where you were, where you started. It's like right there. Mm-hmm. And so when you start getting too far away from where you started and who you are, that's a sign that that program or that method isn't quite right for you. It should be like right here, right? Just a little framework and tie it up. When I start working with a client, I love to listen to one of their sales calls, mm-hmm. because I don't want them to go learn this whole method if they don't need it. They might just need to modify how they're presenting the opportunity, or right, or how they're pricing their program. It might be one teeny tiny thing that's off. And I've taken so many calls and I've reviewed so many that I can hear it right away. And so it's really fun to be like, hey, just ship this one thing, nothing else. Don't do any of the things. Let's see what happens. And just make these little tiny shifts.
It's so interesting you say that, because last year we had a great closer who was working with us, lovely, lovely human being. And she came in and right out of the box, I mean, she was just killing it. She was just closing sale after sale. She was having these beautiful, authentic conversations. And then she wanted to increase her close rate. And so she went and she enrolled in a sales training program. I don't even know the name of it. It was completely outside of the company. She just did it on her own. And what happened over the next couple of months is that her close rate just nosedived. And she didn't want to believe that it was the sales training, but I kept saying, I'm like, wait a second, like you did really good before. And now it's like, you can't close anything. And I really and truly 100%, I'm just like, you did the sales training where they're changing their, how you have an authentic conversation, all these different tactics. Oh, we need to like give them 12 case studies on the call, like overwhelm them with testimonials. I'm like, no, that's not what it's about. And she's actually not with us anymore, because I just don't think she was in a place where she could really even fathom the concept that what you just learned in the sales training was actually hurting you. And now you can't close anything because you got rid of that authenticity that was actually what was making you very successful.
That is the most tragic story I've ever heard. That is so, because it could have been Christ, right? It could have been, let's shorten those calls. They're too long. Or, right? It could have been just the tiniest little shift in how she did. Oh, that's so tragic. Yes, I'm so sorry.
Well, I know, and it was interesting to me because it's like you enroll in these programs and you think you're going to develop your skill set, and sometimes you do, but then sometimes you don't. And I know right now there's people who are listening who are like, "Oh my gosh, Jennifer, like I'm in this program and they're teaching me to do these things and they don't feel very good and they're not working the way that whoever sold you into the program said, you know, they make these huge promises about, you know, all these great results you're going to get. And then when you don't get the result, then it's your fault. They put it back on you. They shame you because you're the client, you did something wrong. And you just leave these programs like without any money, without the result, feeling horrible. And it's just terrible. It's just terrible. And I hate it. I hate it. It's like, it makes me so angry because I've been through it. And I know so many other people are either going through it or have been through it too. And that's why I wanted to have you here, because I'm just like, there's a better way. There is a better way to do this.
Yes, there's a better way to yes. It's literally in the title. And again, both ways work. Yeah. You have to figure out what works for you.
Yeah.
And oftentimes I've had team members who go to a particular training. It's 17 grand and he nailed it. He did fantastic. And he was horrible before. And I couldn't believe at how fast that worked, because I was like, that wouldn't have been right for me. So it just really depends. And our brains are wired differently. And I want to connect with that person. I want to serve the heck out of them. I have a little tear here and there with people on sales calls. I want them to feel so seen and supported. This is the beginning of what could potentially be a life-changing journey for them. I take it really, really seriously. And so I show up ready. I walk the dog before the sales call. I do the jumping jacks or jump in the sauna, whatever I need to do to really feel settled and grounded before I connect with that person. Because it's really, really important how I feel so that I can connect with that person 100%.
Well, after I read your book, one of the very first things I did was I changed my calendar, because I realized I open my calendar up at the end of the day. I like to be done by 4. I start early. My brain's tired. I don't want to talk to anybody after 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And I did. I opened it up because it's like, but what if a prospect comes in and they want to talk to me? But the truth of the matter is at 4 o'clock, I'm like, please let them know show, or let me get this over with as fast as possible, because I don't want to be on this call right now. So that was one of the first things I did. I was just like, shut it down. These are the times I'm available.
Beautiful.
Pick one that works for you. That's it.
Beautiful.
That's it. So it was awesome.
It's that easy.
I know.
You're going to attract a client who also enjoys connecting at that time.
Yep.
Right. That works for you. So it's such a win-win. You're going to feel better when you show up on that call. You're more likely to enroll the client, all the things.
Yeah, I love it. You had another thing in there about rescheduling, of just like not rescheduling no shows. And we generally don't do that either, but we found out we were chasing them down way more. And I'm just like, look, if you can't book a call and show up, you're not my client. You're not my client. I understand sometimes there are things that can happen. I get it. We give them one chance. It's like, hey, you missed your call. Do you need to reschedule? But like, that's it. And if you can't do that, that's a great way to just filter them out. Like, you're not going to be a good client. Because I mean, you're not going to show up for coaching and things like that if you can't handle that first call.
Yes, absolutely. And if you're getting no-shows on a regular basis, you do want to look to your process. Mm-hmm. Are you sending the right amount of reminders?
Mm-hmm.
Are you scheduling calls, just like we were talking about, and we talk about this in the book, within 3 to 5 days of them booking? You want to get them on a call right away. When it's a month out, forget it. They're not showing up. That's just crazy. Thinking about those times of the day, right? At the end of, this is just bonkers. People don't analyze their calendar like you do either. You know, a Friday afternoons, are people showing up for calls? On Monday mornings, are they showing up? Maybe, depending on your industry, but take a look at the times when people are no showing, and you could just keep working smarter and smarter and smarter till you get it settled where people are getting on those calls. They're prepared to speak with you because you've set it up properly. You're prepared to connect with them and bring them through a conversation in 45 minutes, not 2 hours, not 15 minutes, and bring them to a choice, yes or no, on that very first call, and really work in a way that feels amazing where, oh my God, I had a sales call. Yay. This is going to be the best hour of my day. And that's how you want to feel every time those pop up on your calendar.
Oh, I love that so much. What is your thinking on all of these, like, watch this pre-recorded webinar before you show up to the sales call? What is your thinking on having them do things like that before the call?
Yeah. So this has been very, very effective in the past, depending on what it is you're selling. So if you have a big group of people who you've run ads to for a live event, absolutely, it's really nice. And you don't want, you have to play around with it to really see what works for you. I always tell people, what does somebody need to experience before they want to work with you? So what is that? And do your best to set that up before they get on the sales call. So for me, it's my book, right? And so if somebody reads my book and they, you're going to know right away whether or not we're a fit to work together. It's just fantastic. So I want to get my book in front of as many people as possible. And that's where I want them to read even a chapter or a pair. You know, I want them to kind of get a taste of not the mechanics of the sales call, but the heart of who I am. So however you can do that, and it might be a video, it might be an article, it might be a testimonial, it might be anything you can do to get them excited for that call, even the questionnaire that you ask and you have them fill out should get them very excited and going, oh my gosh, I can't wait to meet Jennifer. This is going to be so much fun.
Oh, I love it. So great. Okay. I know everybody's like, where can I find Michelle? I have to go work with her to make my sales process be fun. And I'm so looking forward to it. So Michelle, where can people find you? Where can they go to buy your book?
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, you can get my book on Amazon, Joyful Selling, A Better Way to Yes for Heart-Centered Coaches. And if you're a consultant as well, or you're selling any service-based product, it's going to be really ideal for you. You can also go to my website, michellerockwood.com. You can download chapter one and reach out. Love to connect if you need support with your sales team as well. And I also collaborate a lot with coach training programs and marketing programs to help their clients sell their services. So yeah, thank you so much. This is great.
Very nice. Thank you so much for being here, Michelle. All right, you guys, go out there, grab her book, Joyful Selling. We will put all the links, of course, in our show notes as well. I really hope that you guys enjoyed this episode. And one, I hope that you stop falling for all of these like inauthentic sales practices, number one. And number two, I really hope that you can take the information from today and use it to make a sales process that just feels so good and so yummy for your own business, and that you can really just create a situation where your clients love it, you love it, and it just feels like a win-win, and maybe even like rediscover that love for sales again. All right, you guys, thank you so much for being here today. That's it. Get out there and have a happy, productive day, y'all. Bye. I hope you found today's episode of the Happy Productive Podcast inspiring. Every successful business is formed by a set of small, consistent, and attainable steps. If you want to learn more, come visit us at jenniferdawncoaching.com to take your next step and learn how to meet your business goals. On our website, you're going to find free resources along with links to the life-changing coaching programs that have transformed the lives of so many of our clients, including the Coaching Academy and our Unbreakable Retreats. Many of them started their journey by listening to this podcast. That's it. Thank you for listening and stay tuned for our next episode.
This is the She Leads Podcast Network.